يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباعة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, we are indeed fortunate that we as human beings, Allah سبحانه وتعالى has used our creation as a sign of His grandeur, His might, His power, and an indication to what a great creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ, that we standing here, we seated listening in the complete form that we are. One is you make a form of something, but then the qualities that is found within this form, the ability to speak, the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to consume food, digest it, etc. This body of ours, so complex it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this to show us His power and His might, that coming from something as simple as sand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ, from sand, starting out from sand, you are human beings that are spreading out throughout the four corners of the world. So as complex as we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us to show how powerful He is, how mighty He is. And in this ruku', immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the various creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are something for us to look at and understand how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is something that it is very easy for us to understand, that looking at the complexity of the creation of a human being, it is understandable why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that as an example for us to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a great creator. But after that, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use as a sign to show how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Today inshallah there's going to be a nikah taking place. This occasion of nikah, the contract of nikah that takes place, something that we might think to be something that is ordinary, something that we have to do, or something that we use just merely as a means to fulfill our carnal desires. But the nikah is something far more complex than that. This contract that takes place, this joining, this union of two families that takes place, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this union and uses this contract to show how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. In that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wife is not just another girl that is walking around and you found her. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaqa lakum min anfusikum. Not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her for you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her from you. Our Ustad Harun Abbas Umar rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the giants in hadith and tafsir as well in our country, when he goes into the tafsir explanation of this ayah, where he says lakum min anfusikum, just the depth in this alone, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, lam shows in Arabic, comes for various reasons as well, lam, and in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it to show tamlik. A lot of people would say that in today's time especially, they will shout out slogans to say that this is chauvinistic, or this is sexist or gender biased. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this to show the complete opposite. That when you say, when a father says that this son is mine, this son belongs to me, what does that mean? That he wants to wield his power over him? That he's going to abuse him? When something becomes yours, it becomes something of endearment. This example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in various parts of the Quran Kareem, in a hadith as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show endearment wants to show closeness. This lamb of tamlik is brought, that this belongs to me. When a person is extremely materialistic as well, or not even extremely materialistic, if a person has a little bit of materialistic attachment in his life, which is naturally so, when a person works for something, he makes an effort for something, after years he purchases a valuable vehicle, for example, and then he goes around telling this people, telling the people that this car is my car. What does that mean? That this car, there are other cars, but this one is mine, it is special. I am entrusted to look after it. I am going to wash it. I am going to wax it. When he has that sense of ownership towards it, no person in his right mind will go about keying his own vehicle, smashing and bashing his own vehicle, parking it in compromising places where it can be abused, where it can be stolen. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that wife for you. And this advice is not only for the groom to be, but is for all of us that have spouses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted to us. That she has been created for you to look after, for you to protect, for you to cherish. Not just created for you, but from you. And this, my dear brothers, is something profound. It goes back towards the first nikah that ever took place in the history of mankind. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Amma Adam alayhi salatu was salam. And again, for us to understand the status a wife has in the life of a man and what nikah means in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the youth to be engaged in the contract of nikah. When we go back to the first nikah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about between Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, despite being in Jannah, in heaven, everything was at his disposal. Whatever he desired was given to him. Rivers, the greenery, there was no difficulty, there was no hardship. But despite that, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was missing something in his life. Therefore, he was experiencing some sort of discomfort, some sort of uneasiness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw this. Whilst Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and created Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam from that. Min anfusikum, from you, that woman has been created from the rib of man. This is an indication. One is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a woman. And in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that this also is an indication towards the qualities of a woman. That innal mar'ata khuliqat min dhila'in, that a woman has been created from the rib of a man. And the nature of a rib is such that it is crooked, it is slightly bent. In dhahabta tuqimaha kasartaha, a rib, if you try to straighten it, it will break. Likewise, that woman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted you in nikah, she will have some imperfections. And do not try to straighten out every one of those imperfections. Yes, if the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being broken, then definitely it has to be rectified. But as long as it's within the confines of Sharia, when you find those imperfections, one is will be physical imperfections, mental imperfections as well, those you have to overlook. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you will find one thing that you will not find, that will not be to your liking, but there will be 10 things that will be to your liking. Look at those 10 things, that do not fixate on that one. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized nikah as well. min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salatu wa salam so that in Jannah Adam alayhi salatu wa salam could find solace, could find sukoon, could find chain, could find raha, could find some comfort, some peace, some serenity. In Jannah, if that was the need, how much so in this dunya for a person to find some serenity, some peace in his life, that he has to have that wife in his life. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts love and rahmat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts peace and serenity between husband and wife. An indication towards the fact that any other relationship is a deception. It is not true love, it is not true peace, it is not true comfort. But rather that is shaitaniyat, which will definitely end in heartbreak. And the only way for a person to have true love for another person is through this contract of nikah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely puts that love and muhabbat between spouses. So my dear brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized upon the youth, especially even those that have gone past the youth, the need for them whilst it is there to also find a wife, to find a spouse. More so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized upon the youth, the ya ma'shar al-shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. That you, O youth, those of you who have the capability of getting married, then you should get married. What is the objective of it? One is that you will find that sukoon, mawadda and rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised when a person fulfills the contract of nikah. But the other desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that we stay away from haram, more specifically the haram that comes from the eyes, and the haram that comes from between a person's legs. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرُ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجُ. To give an example of how detrimental looking at something that is haram is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the occasion of Hajjatul Wada', is on his conveyance with Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ulama explain that whilst walking Hajj carries more reward than a Hajj on a conveyance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose to do Hajj on a conveyance so that everybody could see the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had his cousin Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu seated behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a conveyance on the occasion of Hajj in Makkah Mukarramah, or during the days of Hajj, perhaps in Muzdalifah or Mina or Arafah. And a beautiful girl comes in front of him. For a moment their gazes meet each other. Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu looked at her, she looked at Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understand that the gazes of the entire ummah at the time was on this conveyance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in front of everyone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns the gaze of Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, turns him away from this girl. Ulama explained that what was the need for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to publicly carry out this act? If it is you and I, would say that why are you demeaning him? Why are you disgracing him in front of everyone? Could have chosen a better time or a better place to turn his face or give him some advice. The answer is given that this was Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Ahlul Bayt. And this was a Sahabiya radiallahu ta'ala anha as well. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that would not have applied to them, especially in that situation. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a male casts his glance towards a woman and a woman casts her glance towards a male, then the third person in that would be shaitan. And then he will carry on trying to make this interaction something worse until it results in the act of zina, which is completely haram. Should understand that that was not a possibility between these two at that time. As Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu had his chest on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so it was impossible that that would have happened. But that address was not for them, but it was for you and I in our various functions, etc. We break the barrier between males and females. Barriers between genders are broken. Interaction takes place where we feel free. We feel that we are free from haram. Let it be that inshallah we take this occasion of nikah as a time for us to take heed. That the objective of nikah, if we are married, especially the objective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired from nikah, is that aghaddu lil basar, that you have that woman in nikah, respect her, honor her, do not look at someone else. And even more greater than that, wa ahsanu lil faraj, protect that limb which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you between your legs. So those of us who are married, inshallah, respect this wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this. Those of us who are not married, as far as possible, try to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and fulfill the contract of nikah. But until then, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَعَلِيهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, that you do not have the capability of getting married immediately, then fast continuously so that these desires are reduced. So you do not have the desire to look at haram. That you do not have the desire to commit haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of understanding, inshallah. The nikah will be taking place now. The nikah parties can come forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of understanding what this contract of nikah means, what it is to have a wife, how, what high esteem she has in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are not married, inshallah, hasten towards fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.